Welcome to Tell Me Who You Really Are, the groundbreaking new podcast giving you unique insights into live coaching sessions with both regular and famous people. Truth-seeking, soul-lifting, profound conversations between me, Jo Emerson, and my clients as they seek to do business with their demons and change their lives.
Meet Isabel, a successful middle-aged mother and coach who came to me wanting to eat less in order that she could shift a bit of weight and feel better about her body. What she reveals in this episode will ring true for probably every woman raised during the era of thin is in, and reminds us of just how pervasive and toxic diet culture has been for us all to live in. How Isabel's mindset shifts during the conversation is quite amazing. This episode is for you if you've ever struggled with your body image and perfectionism around how you look.
So, Isabel, welcome. Tell me what you would like to work on with me today in this session.
Well, I was thinking about this before I came. So there are two things, but I'm going to go with the one that's bothered me for longer. It's this thing of eating. I eat too much. So luckily I eat healthy. But I would like to eat less, like portions, but also not eat too often. I'm not hungry. I just eat sometimes for this, you know, maybe anxiety. I don't know. Just go there and eat because it's there.
So that's fine. We can definitely talk about that. Just before we talk about eating and try and find some resolution around that, what was the other thing? Because it may well be linked. What was the other thing you were thinking of being coached on?
Oh, yeah. So the other thing is like when I have something come up, an event or webinar or even this recording today, instead of prepare much more before in advance, and then when I came everything is relaxed and sorted, I kind of tend to leave things like, it's not last minute, but I tend to find so many things just before, you know, like I said, oh, I should have my the microphone ready, and then I had to go around looking for it. And but when it comes to work, when I'm doing webinars, because I'm a performance coach myself, sometimes I have 2 weeks in advance, and then I keep postpone, and then I keep writing ideas, but then come to the last minute, I'm doing things, and I deliver. Okay. I always deliver, but I just don't want to have this rush like that. I do things last minute.
Okay. All right. Okay. There may be a link between the two, but you want to work on the eating today primarily?
Yes, I think so, yeah.
Okay. So if you were to be eating in a way that you were happy with, what would that look like?
Well, I want to eat, let's say, a small portion. So even when it's nice, I enjoy the food, but to have a point that I said, yeah, it's enough, it's nice, but it's enough. I don't have to eat a second time, or I don't have to eat, overeat, like, you know, eat so much that it's like, after I feel uncomfortable with that, because
right,
okay. I manage my weight okay, I'm not overweight or anything like that, but I'm sure if I eat healthier, I mean, I eat healthy, but if I eat small portions, I will be much easier to control my weight and the way I look, my body. And that is something that's important for me.
Yeah, okay. When, if you look back over your relationship with food and eating, has there been a time in your life where it's been what you would class as normal or, you know, happy? You've been contented with how much you've been eating?
Well, childhood, sometimes we have not much option about food. So there was, I know there is this pattern of, let's say, sometimes you didn't have something nice. Okay. So always we eat very basic. But then when my dad would bring something special, let's say ice cream or a type of thing that we didn't have all the time. So it seems you had to finish everything that's spot because there will be nothing left, because whoever comes, like, we have to eat then and then and eat everything, otherwise it won't come for seconds, because when you come it won't be there.
Got it. Yeah.
Yeah. But so there also, was a...
Go on, carry on. You keep going.
There is another habit of for my culture that is like when you eat, for you to say the food is nice, you need to eat a second time. So, you know, people would say, oh, eat more. Is that like, if you say, no, I'm satisfied, they would think like, oh, no, you should eat again. And then because the food is nice, you go and eat a second time. And I know this is a habit that comes from childhood, I think. Well, right. I think I'm quite sure.
So you would show your appreciation culturally for good food by having a second portion. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and right. And eating a lot, because there is this thing of not eating just a small portion. I usually put like a big portion, you know, but that's a cultural thing as well. So,
sure, yeah, I've got you. Okay, so the goal is, as far as I can work out, to have smaller portions, eat enough, and stop, so that you don't feel uncomfortable, when you overeat. What other consequences are there from what you perceive to be overeating for you?
It's the fact that I have a goal that I want to achieve about my weight. And okay. And I keep boycotting on that because I want to get to 60, because with
60
aging,
kilos, is that?
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
But with aging, I notice like we keep put on weight. But if you don't keep like, if you don't manage that because of the hormones and all that, where women and, yeah, the tendency is to put more and more and more. And I don't want that. I just want to like have the shape that I'm not by all means trying to be. Yeah, I would like to be toned, actually fit.
Okay, so one of the consequences, so you've said that one of the consequences is feeling uncomfortable, and then it sounds like another consequence for you is weight gain.
Yes.
What other consequences are there from the way your current habits around food?
I don't know. I think health-wise as well, I've been reading about this. It's better if you eat less for our own gut.
Yes.
Because I think we overeat, and I'm very pleased that I consider myself with a good health, and this is important for me. And then if I can help by doing things, taking actions that's going to help my body, I would like that. And I think when you eat too much, that's why I think they say this intermittent fast is really good, because give a break to our internal organs, like we is not overworking because we're always constantly eating. So I think in this way it would be nice too, just to be able to appreciate food, but not think that you need to eat so much that is like to appreciate you eat, you have to eat a lot. You just appreciate, you eat and say, oh, that's nice, and then that's it.
Okay. It sounds like there's a part of you that's afraid of the food running out. Afraid that there might not be nice food. What you were saying about when Dad would come home with nice food, but it was quite rare. I'm just wondering whether there's a part of you that thinks I better eat more because there might not be enough.
To be honest, I don't have that fear here. Okay. In the UK, to be honest, I don't.
Did you have that
what
fear
I don't like? Then? No, I didn't grow up here. I grew up in Brazil, where I'm from.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. My question was, did you have that fear when you were growing up? So you've just said you're from Brazil. So in Brazil, was there a fear of there might not be enough food? I know you've not got it now in the UK. But in Brazil, was there that fear?
Oh, no, there was time there was not enough food. So right. There was not a fear, it was a fact.
Okay.
Yeah. And then also there was a fact that you couldn't really eat whatever you wanted, like I can here, like my children can. So it's like, you know, for instance, fruits. The only fruits we would eat is like the traditional there, orange and banana. But something like a pear or an apple or strawberries, that would be like really, really a big treat.
Right. That's That's so interesting, because over here we think apples and pears are really boring and we think bananas and oranges are a real treat. It's so funny, isn't it? Things look exotic from the lens through which you're looking at them. All right, so I just want to hold that childhood experience of sometimes there's not enough. I just want to kind of hold that alongside the questions I'm going to keep asking you, because much as I completely understand that you're now living in the UK, you have a good job, there's enough money for you and you know, and your children, and there's enough food, therefore, I just want to just acknowledge the fact that in your memory DNA is the fact of there's not enough sometimes. Mm-hmm. Because that will be playing out. You know, I remember reading something about people after the Second World War, people who were leaving prisoner of war camps, having been, you know, almost starved to death, leaving their, you know, completely skeletal. And within a year, a huge percentage, I can't remember the percentage, but a huge percentage were quite seriously overweight, because their body went into, it went from famine to feast, and the subconscious, that hind brain, you know, the survival part of our brains, you'll know about this because you're a coach, that survival part of the brain kicked in and was just like, we need to lay on as much fat as possible, because the time may come again where we're going to go into famine and we need to survive. So I just want to hold that there if you're okay with that. I'm wondering, so talking about the consequences of how you're eating now, we've said weight gain and we've said health and we've said that feeling of discomfort when you've filled your tummy too full, which we've all done, you know, especially birthdays and Christmas and ice cream. I mean, it's just yummy. I'm wondering about the emotional consequences of eating too much. I'm wondering what that does to you psychologically. Where do you go when you've eaten too much?
Yeah, I think like for me, it's like I'm boycotting what I want to achieve, because I did put some weight in 2019. And I made the decision then that I said, I'll shred this. And I did, actually. I lost 1.5 stone, but I never been that overweight anyway, apart from when I was pregnant. I was not overweight, I was pregnant anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So I did said I was going to do it, but I didn't want to do those yo-yo diet or anything like that. I was like consistently working, exercising, and eating health. But I love exercise, and I start to exercise a lot then, but a lot mean regularly.
Yes.
And actually I was feeling great, because I start to get toned like I never did, even though like because of I'm 54 now, and I was start to have muscles, which I never had as a younger person. So I like that feeling. I love that. But then I was very close to achieve my goal. I was 63, and then said I let go a little bit, and now I went back to 66. And I thought, wow, you know what? Why you were very close? Why you just not carry on, you know? And I know it's a lot to do with the food as well, because with the exercise, I'm 100% with that. It's the food bit that is let me down, the moment that I'm not actually sticking to it. Yeah.
So that's all really useful, but I'm not sure you quite answered my question, which was psychologically, emotionally, mentally, what happens to you? What's the narrative? What do you say to yourself when you've eaten too much food? What are the consequences of overeating or perceived overeating for you? What does it do to you?
It does make me feel sad or anything like that. I just feel frustrated.
Okay. Does it affect your self-esteem?
No, not really, because at the moment I'm still in good shape.
Yeah.
But if I really go and let it go and become like like I was before, probably would, yes.
Yeah, okay. So when you were bigger in 2019, that affected your self-esteem.
It did, of course.
But you did something about it and you got some weight off, felt better about yourself. And I suppose there's a part of you that's concerned that you might slip back.
Yeah, maybe, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell me, this magic number of 60 kilos, how did you decide upon that as the weight that you wanted to be?
Because there are some clothes that I wear that I feel good about. Yeah. So if I wear something and I like this. I like the way I look in the mirror. And then when I was 63, I was already feeling good. But then I thought, I want to go to 60. But I had this from the beginning. I had this in my mind, 60. Because I was less than that before. But because of aging, there is no point to want to go too slim because everything falls as well. So I thought 60 is going to be a good caution, like if I want to eat a little bit more when I go to an occasion, it's fine. So I'm not going to have to be thinking about not eating what I want all the time. So, yeah. So I think that's what it is.
So you felt good at 63, but you wanted to go to 60 to give yourself some breathing space.
No, because I didn't think I arrived where I wanted still when I was in 63. I think I still wanted to go a bit. Yeah.
Right. But but you did say to me, unless I misheard you, you did say you liked how you looked at 63.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Okay. So you were at 63, but you're trying to get lower.
Yes.
Because I thought you said it was because you wanted to give yourself a bit of leeway, but it maybe not.
The truth is, I think I'm going to go look even better.
Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, okay. How much of this... I've got two questions for you. I'm going to ask them, obviously, one at a time. The first question is how much time do you spend today thinking about food?
No, not much.
Okay.
But the thing is, because I work from home, so sometimes I just go to the kitchen and I said, oh, I'm going to eat something. And also, there is another thing as well that I know is a pattern. It's like I buy food for my kids and everyone in the house. And then they don't eat the food. So that gives me a stress that I'm going to throw that food away. That bothers me too. Sometimes if I see food there. Yeah. So if I see that food there, I feel like, oh, I'm going to eat this because I don't want to throw it away. I really would feel really bad to keep just throwing food away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I was on my own, it would be very easy because I would go to the shop, buy only what I have to eat. And it's perfect. It's in the fridge. I don't have to. But because I want my kids to have the food there for them to eat when they want to eat. So I buy, but they don't eat. And then the food's going to be thrown away. And then I say, I'm going to eat because otherwise it's going to be thrown away. But I don't want to not to have, because for them not to have that sense of lacking, because I want this, but I don't have the food. But it's there. And sometimes they don't eat because my kids, they have a different pattern that I had. My son only eats when he's hungry. And if he had enough, I respect them. I would not say, eat more, eat more. You say, I'm okay. I say, okay, fine. So I did differently. But I want to have it there for them when they want to eat. Because I don't want them to go to eat and there is no food. And, I don't have something I want to eat. So,
how old are your children?
My son now, he's going to be 14 this weekend. Okay. But my daughter, she's a grown-up, so she eats her own.
She's a grown-up. Okay, so could your 14-year-old, just thinking off the top of my head, could your 14-year-old take your card, your debit card, to the local shop buy himself some food if he wanted it. I don't mean main meals, I mean snacks.
You could, yeah.
So, because that would, what I'm thinking is that would then mitigate there being food in the fridge that he may or may not want. He could actually go and buy food when he wanted it, bring it back, eat it, then there's no waste.
Yeah, yeah, could.
Because a lot
I
of
don't
our.
Think he would.
Well, he would if he was hungry.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
He would if he was hungry. We all go and find food if we're hungry. If there's not what we want in the fridge, we'll go and find what we want if we're allowed to. You see, a lot of how you're going to be parenting him and your is it an older daughter that you said you had?
Oh yeah, but that's a different. She eats whatever she wants.
Of course, but a lot of how you've parented them regarding food will be a reaction to the lack of food you had when you were younger. And not wanting them to feel that sense of panic that there's not enough food and are we going to survive? And I think it's instinctive in every mother. I've got three children. It's instinctive in us to feed our children to keep them alive. But at 14, they are able to go to the shop and get some hummus and some bread and some carrot sticks or Mars bar or, you know, whatever they want if it's snack time. And that might just help with your stress over there being excess food.
Yeah, that's true.
So you say you don't spend much time thinking about food. How much time do you think you spend thinking about your weight and how you look?
Well, the weight, because I go to the gym regularly, and then it's just about the way I look, you know, like, yeah, I just watch myself every day in the mirror, so and I can't see my belly sticking out, so I said, wow, I just want to.
Well, you've had children.
Oh no, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. When I lost, I was looking really good actually, so but now I think because of the age stuff, that's a thing with aging. I think usually when you put on weight, it's always on the belly, so and that's the part that bothers me actually, because it's not like distributed, it's just like and then it's sticking out, and then it does bother me.
So my second question is about cultural standards and how much you think the cultural standards, certainly here in the West, I've not lived in Brazil, so I can't comment on that, but certainly here in the West, the cultural standards, you and I would have grown up in swimming in a soup that said women have to be thin in order to be approved of. Women have to be little. Men should be able to pick them up and pop them in their pockets. You know, that's ideal for a woman. And obviously, thank goodness, that is changing hugely. You know, and I mean, there's still all sorts of weird misogyny around women's bodies. You and I, because we're similar ages, would have grown up feeling that if any part of us sticked out, unless it was our breasts or our bottoms, there was something wrong with us. So certainly having a tummy, I remember being shown images of, I remember the Baywatch image, for example, with women with enormous breasts and like these completely flat stomachs, and thinking, oh, right, I need to look like that. And looking at my own body and thinking, well, that doesn't match up.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, Isabel, with you, how much that is playing into what's going on for you with food and body image.
Probably when I was growing up, because I remember I was slim, but I was not doing anything, to be honest. I was just slim, but not slim like I love. Well, actually, I didn't, even though looking back at the pictures now, I had a perfect body when I look. But I keep saying, I need to lose weight. Mm. So that my mom says, what do you need to lose for? You don't have anything to lose. So that's something I would probably come from for that body image, isn't it? And in Brazil, it's a big thing. Because in Brazil, it's like to be fit, you know, like to be slim. That is massive, yeah.
Well, it's massive here. It's massive everywhere. And it's a form of misogyny. Yes. It's a deep form of misogyny, you know, telling a woman how her body should look in order for that woman to feel approved of.
Yeah,
that's very different from a woman thinking, I want to feed this body loads of vegetables and fruit and lovely proteins, and I want to move it because I want to live for a long time and I want to enjoy health, and you know, I want to feel fit and vibrant. You know, those are very different things. A woman trying to make her body smaller in order to fit a cultural standard, is a very different goal to someone who's thinking, I really want to nourish the body I've got because I might be alive for a lot longer and I want to, you know, enjoy the years that I've got. My sense with you is that you're still probably more in that first camp than you are in that second. There's still something in you thinking she's not good enough unless she's got a flat stomach. How do you respond to that?
No, actually, I do think I'm enough.
You do?
I do. I do love myself. And it's like what happened is before, I would go shy myself of wearing clothes and stuff like that. And now I don't. I go to the gym. I see the belly. So, yeah, I could, you know, I would love to get rid of this belly. But I don't really feel shy about it. I train with the guys around.
Yeah.
And I'm confident on this, 100%. I'm like, well, we know who likes me. The thing is, I need to like myself. I'm not doing this for other people. I'm doing it for me. And yeah. And I never loved myself as much as I love now. So it's just like, I don't know. I just like to not have this big belly. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand that. What does the big belly signify? By the way, big, we're using in inverted commas because I'm sure it's... That's a subjective statement, but what does your belly signify to you?
I never thought of that, actually.
Well, let's think about it now. Think about yourself in the morning, looking at you, you're in your underwear, looking at your belly. What do you think? What does it signify?
Maybe aging.
Okay. Yeah, you've mentioned aging a few times, actually.
Yeah, so maybe it's like aging and, yeah.
And what is it about aging that makes you uncomfortable?
I know, I think aging is a good thing, it's a privilege. But it's nice if you age like feeling good and healthy. For me, the main thing is to feel healthy. So, yeah, the truth is the belly it shouldn't be a big thing, isn't it?
There's no shoulds here, right? There's no rights and wrongs. It's just for you, this belly seems to be seems to represent something that you're uncomfortable with.
Yeah, I'm just thinking what that could be. Yeah. What is it that bothers me so much about it? To be honest, I don't really know.
No, I don't. We can stay. You know, that can just be another thing that we pop on the shelf, along with the lack of food sometimes as a child. But it's you're not the first person to say this to me. There is something, and if you think about the belly is the very basis of womanhood. The very foundation of our femininity, because it's where we grow life. You know, your womb, your ovaries, your children grew behind that belly, in that belly. You know, we women, we grow life. It is the source of all of our power. And that there are some theories out there, and you can take this or leave this, but that the misogyny towards the belly is because of a misogyny towards the fact that women, without women, there would be no life. Also, without men, there'd be no life. But that the feminine in us, that the patriarchy has tried to crush the feminine. And there's nothing more feminine than a ripe belly growing a life.
And it's funny we're saying that because I love my children, but I used to say, but I hate being pregnant.
Did you?
Yeah, I didn't like, you know, the fact of being pregnant. And always it's about the body. It's like the mobility that you didn't have, and to carry, like, oh, and it was so big. And I was like, oh, gosh, this is like such a big belly and the big body, you know. Like, so I said, oh, I don't mind children, because actually I want to have children. I love my children.
Of course you do.
But I didn't like being pregnant. Like, I didn't like the change in my body. You know, when women see that, oh, yeah, it's so beautiful and all that. I said, no, not really. You know, I find very beautiful in other women, but I was not feeling very beautiful for me. So, okay, you know, I just like, and also the walking, the mobility. I was not really finding, I was not finding beautiful, to be honest. I was like, okay, I was getting on with it, but it's not that something I thought, oh, it's so nice, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And then there's the feeling sick all the time as well, which really doesn't help. I don't know. My second pregnancy, I just felt sick for 9 months. So I was very glad to push that one out. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
But but again, you see, there's something in you about, you know, being bigger, and it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for you, and you're not the only woman, by the way, to feel uncomfortable when she's bigger at all. These cultural standards, though, let's come back to those. What did you grow up believing a woman should look like?
Slim, that's for sure. Yes. Uh-huh. But the standards, they do change. But for instance, there are some things that while some people like that, I don't like. For instance, my breasts. While people like big breasts, I always thought I hate big breasts. I like my small breasts. So I never really, because in Brazil, they had this standard that people would do plastic surgery to have a bigger breast. Mm-hmm. And I never had that in my mind. I said, gosh, it would be the worst thing for me to have a big breast. I want a smaller one. And I like my breast the way it was, smaller. I said, no, that's not, you know, I didn't want to comply with this. And the belly thing as well, women there, they go easily to surgery. Loads of people I know have done surgery to make it flat. Liposuction, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I never went to that route either. Like, no way. If I'm losing, it has to be to exercise and eating. So I don't want to go to this surgery. I'm not going to go to that extreme. That's what I was thinking. I would love to have a flat belly, but it has to be through my own work. It has to be me doing the work. And I think there is a sense of reward as well, because I said, well, I got it because I did the work to have it, not like because I went and had the surgery. So I don't go to that extreme, because there they do that. And this is common.
Right.
But it bothers me a bit. Yeah. It's something that's been bothering me for a while. So I thought I could talk about a lot of things, but I thought, you know what, why don't I speak about this and see if I can figure out why I keep going back to the same pattern? Because it's a silly thing as well to waste too much time thinking about this, isn't it?
Well, what I'm seeing is two parts of you. There's the childlike part of you, the instinctive part of you that wants to know she's going to get enough food.
Mm.
It's growing up in Brazil, sometimes there wasn't enough, and that is terrifying. Mm. So there's that part of you. Let's call that Brazil you.
Yes.
And then there is current you, who has some very high standards for her body, who works very hard to maintain health and fitness, and has set, I'm going to use the word high standards again, has set quite high standards for a weight in which she's going to be happy. But here's the rub. Brazil you wants more food, because Brazil you is scared of running out. UK you, current you, is saying, no, we're not going to, we need to have less food. Because in order to survive, in order to be approved of, in order to feel self-acceptance, we need to weigh less.
Mm.
And there's, you're literally being pulled like a rubber band in two directions. That's where I think we are where we are, is because one part of you is going north and the other part of you is going south. And what we need to work out, what you need to work out, and this may be today, this may be in subsequent work you do, is which part of you you're going to allow to win, which is the most important part. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm just thinking. If I can say, I would like the UK part to win, because the Brazilian part one would be overeating and probably putting weight.
Yeah.
And not because, you know, compared to people from my time, I'm keeping shape, but because I exercise and because I eat healthily. So, and I'm healthier. So this is often that I really like. So I'm really fit for my age. I mean, that I can exercise, I do stuff, and I like that. I love that part. And that part from Brazil is overeating, and I don't want that either. I mean, you know, it's not good for you. Why are you going to eat so much? Because there was lack at some point, but there is no lack now. So,
but that part of you needs compassion. And at the moment, I think you're being quite hard on that part of yourself. Shut up. What are you doing? There's plenty of food. Leave me alone. I'm not going to give you food. But that is your survival brain speaking to you. And you cannot shut that part of you up. You have to do business with that part of you.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, part of that work is actually spending time with that part of you. And, you know, maybe just before every meal or every morning, maybe actually just connecting to that part of you and saying, this is what we're going to eat today. This is how I'm going to show you. You're going to have enough today. We're going to have this for breakfast. We're going to have this for lunch. We're going to have this for a snack. And we're going to have this for dinner. And I promise you, if we're really hungry because we've done loads of exercise, we'll have a banana. You know, you actually literally parent yourself and say to that scared part of you, it's all right. We're in control now. There's plenty of food. Look, I'm going to show you how much food you're going to get today. Yeah.
Yes.
And you have to manage that part of you rather than trying to kind of bulldoze it with hard rules and, you know, really restrictive kind of eating and what have you. Can I ask you, we've talked about numbers and numbers are neither here nor there, except for you, they're important. I know the goal is around 60 kilos in terms of weight. But where are you about now?
66.
66. Okay. How would, and I'm just going to offer this as a suggestion, it's not my body, not my business, but I'm just trying to offer you an objective point of view. I'm wondering whether 66 is where Brazil you is happier because there's a bit more weight. And I'm wondering whether 60 is where UK you is happy, and that maybe the two of them could meet in the middle at 63, where you said to me only 20 minutes ago, you looked great in the mirror.
Yeah. Well, I look good on the clothes, but I still would love to shred the belly.
I don't think you're going to shred the belly because I've got one of those bellies and I do loads of exercise. We've had children and our skin has stretched.
Yeah, that's true.
Our skin has stretched. But, you know what? I knew I was, because I have a history with eating disorders and in the past and really bad body dysmorphia and stuff, and when I was pregnant with my first daughter and I saw these stretch marks coming, this is like 19-20 years ago now, I was quite like, oh my god, and I had to like really speak to myself and say, like, this is what happens to skin that is growing life. I was really I had to really do business with myself. And after she was born, when she was like toddling and she'd touch my tummy, probably because I had another one growing in there, and she'd say, what are those? And I'd say, they're the kisses you left when you were inside my tummy. And that to this day, my three daughters see my belly as my stretched belly with its bit of a flobby skin. They see it as something really positive because that's the narrative I told them. And there's a part of me that believes it. Believe me, there's still a part of me that looks in the mirror and goes, oh, I wish I didn't have a tummy like that. But that But I've really worked hard on kind of accepting, how can I put it? It's part of my womanhood. It's a badge of honor. It's a badge of honor. Look at these three stunning girls I grew in that belly. And I do wonder with you whether you are being quite hard on yourself.
Yeah, probably I am, to be honest. Because, you know, people think I look great. But when it depends what I wear, I look good. I feel good about it. It's just the thing of not letting go, but it's to make peace, isn't it? Like you said, it's to, it's to be kind with the Brazil side of me and to think, look, it's fine. You know, it's not going to go run away. It's here. But it's like mindfulness in a way. It's like to be mindful when you're eating as well. Yeah,
it is to be mindful when you're eating. Well, I think you maybe need to bring both parts of you to the dinner table each time you eat and actually speak to, you know, I don't mean speak out loud. If you're on your own, you can, but just check in with that Brazil part of you and say, it's all right. This, what we're going to eat now is enough. This is what we're going to eat and enjoy. And if, you know, you're still hungry 20 minutes after we've eaten this, we'll have something else. You and I knowing full well that after 20 minutes, you'll be nice and full and you'll have moved on and that part of you will be satisfied. But I also think that the extremes of, that's quite an extreme, if you're already slim and fit and well, another 6 kilos, 66 to 60, that's quite a lot of weight. That's nearly a stone. That's quite a significant amount of weight for the part of you that lived with the fact of not much food. That's going to send that part of you into terror. And then that part of you is going to think, I need to eat more. I need to overeat. So I don't think this is about what you're eating necessarily. This is about that part of you being scared that it's not going to have enough. And when you go into diet mode, it's thinking, holy crap, we're back in Brazil. There's not enough food. Is Dad coming with some ice cream?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, actually. Even when I go shopping sometimes, and knowing all that, I go buying a lot of stuff and I think, oh my gosh, I'm buying this. If the kids doesn't eat, I'm going to end up eating. So when you said about the card for my child, so that is a good hint for myself. Instead of buying a lot, it's better if I go to the shop 2-3 times and buying than to buy all these and then worry that's going to go off and then I eat. So I think I buy less. And if my kids want something, I ask them to tell me, I'll go and buy. Or if I want something, I go and buy. And then that's it. So it's like, don't have this. You don't have so much that after you so worry, oh my gosh, start to get to off and start eating. So maybe that is an excuse. I buy so much already subconsciously is not understand why I'm doing that. So well, kind of now. So maybe buy less.
That's a great idea because this is about you feeling safe around food. And it feels like when there's not enough, you don't feel safe. And when there's too much, you don't feel safe. But actually the two parts of you feel safe when you've got, you know, food for a couple of days in the fridge, but not, you know, not too much and not completely bare cupboards. You know, I can't help but I suppose for you, I can't help but thinking that the goal here has kind of shifted slightly to maybe finding a bit more balance here emotionally, physically, just around, you know, clearly food was stressful when you were growing up. And you know, we do need to feel food is absolutely, as it sounds obvious, but it's crucial to our survival. So we have to have safety around it. So here's a question for you. How do you think you can create safety around food for you?
Is it what I want?
Yeah.
But I don't have to overeat because it's going to be there. You know, like, but then when I'm doing the shopping, I'm going to do less. Even if I have to go there more often, it's fine because it's not far. It's just 5 minutes away. I can always go and, you know,
yeah,
to do two trips to the shop. It's better than go buy too much for the week and then after overeating because, oh my God, it's going to go off and all that. Yeah. But then, like, when I'm having the food to enjoy, because there's no point if you're having the food thinking, oh my gosh, I'm eating this, not feeling good because you're eating, because you need to enjoy what you're eating as well and be mindful. Now it's different. You know, it's not that time from the past. Now is a different, I always going to have access to food. So.
You are. And how can you create some safety around your body image?
Sorry, I didn't really understand the question.
So we've talked about creating safety around food for you, so doing a bit less and eating mindfully and reminding the younger part of you, that the Brazil you, that there really that there's going to be enough. But tied in with all of this is your body image. You, when you look in the mirror, not liking what you see. And I'm wondering how we can create some safety for you, some feelings of security and okayness around your body.
Yeah, it's about actually, when I say gratefulness, is to actually feel grateful that I have a functioning body. And okay, it might be a little bit of fat, but thanks God, everything is well inside. I'm healthy. And this, Vanessa, is such a small thing, isn't it? That to worry about, overthinking about, because it's not like, it's not that I don't look good, because I think I do. And when people think I look good, and if I would say, oh, I need to lose weight, they say, why you have to do that? You look great, you know? So it's like, it's just be enjoying who I am and the stage of my life I am, because I cannot look like when I was 20 because I'm 54. So it's just to embrace, probably embracing aging gracefully, actually.
Well, listen, you could look like you did at 20, at 54, but you would literally live in the gym and only eat meat and vegetables forever. You wouldn't really be able to do all the other things you do in your life. You know, and also, you know, let's not forget that the images we're shown on social media of, you know, young men and women in the gym, A, they are very young men and women, and B, they're like holding their breath in a certain pose, you know, someone's got some sort of air shopping. It's not air shop, is it? Photoshopping out. And they've airbrushed. Yes. Right. And they've airbrushed abs onto them and all sorts. And there's the rest of us, poor, poor audience, comparing ourselves and thinking that we don't match up. Mm. And, you know, it's remembering all of that. We live in a very toxic culture when it comes around body image.
It's true.
But I love what you said about gratitude, gratitude for the body you have and what it's achieving and how it's healthy and it's working. You know, I have found that the more I've just eaten for health, since I've eaten for health and only for health and not stopped trying to change my body and accepted the weight it naturally is, my weight has like literally not budged. I'm just a stable weight. I'm slim. I buy clothes in normal shops. I'm not thin. I'm not fat. I'm just, you know, and that came from a self-acceptance and starting to just eat food that made my mind feel good, that made my body feel good. And consequently, any excess weight I had and all that body image rubbish started to slip out the back door of my life.
Okay. Yeah. But
it took a change in mindset. It took someone pointing out to me, took someone asking me, why are you so obsessed with your belly? What is it about your belly? And here I am able to pass that on to you.
Yeah, that's true. Because you mentioned, I know some women like Victoria Beckham, they say she eats the same diet for 20 years or something like that. That would be the worst thing ever. Because, you know, the good thing about you get some more money that you can afford is to eat nice things, not just to be stuck on the same food. That, because I love try different foods. So if you, for me to be in that pattern, I know we have to make that sacrifice of eating only vegetable and, yeah, and meat. But there's so many other nice things that you want to try out. So, yeah, that's true.
And there's a life to be had out there. There's a life to be lived. And the other thing to say is that no one else gives two monkeys about your belly. No one else is looking. Seriously, no one else is looking. No one else worries. It's just you. And so often when we have body image issues, we can walk out and think that everyone's thinking about our belly or our bingo wings or our wrinkles or, you know, whatever. And everyone's just obsessing about themselves. They're certainly not interested in your belly or my belly and the, you know, the children we've grown in there. But our low self-esteem can make us feel hyper-conscious of these things. We're coming to the end of our time together, and I wanted you to just take just a couple of seconds to think and then tell me what are the main things you're going to take away from the time we spent together today.
Yeah, it's to practice more gratitude.
Amazing.
So this way, be kind and like really, really, mainly for us women, it's important for us to actually break this pattern of misogyny that like we've been boxed into, because we're, and in this way actually help other women instead of like, because if I'm at this age, start to obsess about this, can you imagine the younger people that, you know, the new generation? So it's like to actually to honor who you are for what you are, like you said, and also you had children, you are aging. Yes, but that's part of life, isn't it?
Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. I got quite emotional when you said that about the next generation and about helping other women, because, you know, what the most wonderful thing about coaching, as you all know, because you're a coach yourself, is the ripple effect. That, you know, when we can change, then we can help others to change. And there's nothing more beautiful than that. It's been such a pleasure working with you.
Thank you very much. That's been amazing. I'm still humbled and privileged to be here today. Thanks so much.
If you are struggling with a negative body image, here is what I would suggest. Firstly, if you are at a healthy weight, please consider how diet culture has programmed you to believe that you have to look a certain way to be accepted. How do you feel about this? Have you simply swallowed the idea that women have to be thin without actually questioning the validity of these beliefs? Secondly, ask yourself this question: if I could no longer change my body through exercise and diet anymore, how would I live? How would this change the focus of my day? Thirdly, find five things you like about your body and practice active gratitude for them. When I'm cycling up the hill every day, I repeat to myself how grateful I am that my 50-year-old legs are still fit enough to move me around. And lastly, if you think you need to lose some weight for your health, then my suggestion would be to pack your diet with veggies and whole foods. Find some exercise you enjoy and do it daily, and quit the addictive foods like sugar and bread. When I started eating for my health rather than for weight loss, my weight miraculously stabilised and has remained the same for years.